You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. If you missed your favorite program, don't worry. You can listen to podcasts of our program at cjsf.ca.
Welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, Burnaby Mountain. My name is Chris Spangerberg, and I am the producer of this series of interviews you are currently about to listen to. This is the fourth episode of an eight-part episodic series on traditional Chinese medicine, also known as TCM, and the traditional Chinese medicine community here in Vancouver. In the course of these interviews, I examine the local culture and practice of traditional Chinese medicine, as well as inquire into its philosophy and difference from Western medicinal practices. This series is produced for CJSF 90.1 FM's Making Time for Radio project. Today's interview is the first half of a long interview with Dr. Avon Evan, an acupuncturist, herbalist, translator, and clinic owner of Rocky Mountain Wellness in Port Moody. Avon stands out in the TCM community for his interest and scholarship in classical Chinese medicine, especially classic Chinese medicine texts such as the Yellow Emperor's Classic of Chinese Medicine and the Treatise on Cold Damage Disorders. He is also involved with translation of such texts into English. In the first part of the interview with Avon, we significantly discuss his background and practice of Chinese medicine. We start off with how he was introduced to Chinese medicine and how he began his path towards an enthusiastic study of classical Chinese medicine. Next, we talk about his experiences studying Chinese medicine in both Canada and China, and his studies under Dr. Yulan Bai and Professor Huang. Following that, we discuss Avon's approach to healing and practice. We end the first part of the interview discussing the main differences between Chinese medicine and Western medicine, and how they could best work together. My name is Chris Spangerberg, and you are listening to an interview between me and Dr. Avon Evan here on CJSF 90.1 FM. So, Avon, tell me a little bit about yourself and your history.
Sure. My name is Iran Evan. I was born in Tel Aviv, Israel. My family moved to Toronto, actually, when I was 5 years old, where I grew up, and I moved out to British Columbia in 1999 to work and apprentice under a herbalist in Victoria. It was then pretty much when I decided to study traditional Chinese medicine.
For how long have you been practicing traditional Chinese medicine?
I've graduated initially from the undergraduate Chinese medicine program in 2003, so I've been in practice on and off since then, with stints in China back and forth, but I've been in consistent practice now since 2006, so for 10 years now, consistently.
How did you end up working with traditional Chinese medicine? What first got you interested in the field?
What brought me into Chinese medicine was actually herbal medicine. I had studied herbal medicine in 1997 in Toronto. That was my first degree, what I did, and it was all Western herbal medicine, and which brought me out to British Columbia because I had an opportunity to work and apprentice with a very well-known herbalist at a very renowned herbal shop in Victoria that had been there at that point for close to 30 years already. And I was very disillusioned, to be quite honest, because, you know, with Western herbal medicine, it wasn't really any different than allopathic medicine in the sense that one plant was meant to treat one problem. And I got very disillusioned very quickly because I found that it only worked some of the time. It was a very hit or miss situation. It was like, here's a plant, you have a headache, take this plant, it's good for headaches, but it wasn't really the case. And so one of my coworkers actually gave me a book about Chinese medicine. It was a book called The Web That Has No Weaver, which is actually a very, very famous book in Chinese medicine now. To read, and I was very intrigued by the concept of differential diagnosis, where treatments are applied based on differential diagnosis, where, you know, you can have one plant or one formula, one herb to treat many conditions, or, you know, one condition can be treated with a multitude of different herbs and stuff. And I was very intrigued, and so I did a lot more research, looked into Chinese medicine, and as I typically do in my life, I just jumped in the fire and enrolled in a program and started studying and haven't looked back since.
So what benefits do you see in Chinese medicine?
There's a lot of benefits. I mean, that's a big question. I think one of the beauties of Chinese medicine is its ability to treat chronic, long-standing conditions. You know, I think that, you know, in a parallel between Western biomedical medicine and Chinese medicine, you know, Western medicine excels at treating acute conditions, at treating emergency conditions, and where I think we really shine is treating very long-standing, very chronic conditions in patients that have been offered no help, or, you know, in hopes to get them to reduce their current Western medications. And I think that that's truly where we shine. I think that Chinese medicine views the body in a very, very holistic sense, in a very holistic way, that really gives us a very clear understanding of how a person's physiology is off. And so, you know, we're typically not looking for a pathology per se. We're looking more for physiology and how to regulate that in the body. So the benefits of Chinese medicine are quite vast, actually.
What differentiates you from other practitioners and doctors of traditional Chinese medicine is your skill in Mandarin and your extensive scholarship and ancient traditional Chinese medicine texts. Where would you say your excitement for Mandarin and the scholarship of traditional Chinese medicine comes from?
Initially, when I graduated school in 2003, I started to study Chinese because my objective was to move to China, and work in the hospitals. But I didn't want to rely on translators. I wanted to hear it from the patients themselves. I knew the Chinese medicine worked, and it wasn't an issue about that. But I really needed to know that it worked, and I needed to go to China. I needed to work with the patients, and I wanted to be able to communicate with them in their own language. And so that began my study of conversational Chinese. Well, I wasn't really studying classical Chinese. I wasn't really studying it to learn how to read or anything. That wasn't really my objective. My objective was just to have conversations and to hear, you know, talk to patients and stuff. And so I had started to do an apprenticeship with a couple local Chinese doctors after I graduated in 2003 here in Burnaby. And they're very well versed in classics and had started to urge me to really kind of explore that avenue and maybe begin to read. And I took it a little bit seriously. I was like, okay, sure, whatever. It's so hard. There's so many characters. So I went to China in 2005, and you know, my Chinese was okay. It wasn't bad. I thought it was a lot better when I was here, and then I got there into Beijing, and with the dialect, I was like, oh my god, my Chinese is horrible. And when I was in China, I had enrolled in the Chinese program, in the graduate program in Chinese, lived in a Chinese apartment building. Didn't really mingle with the expat community, so I really, really jumped in the fire in that regard. And I had a lot of time on my hands, and that time was literally spent going through dictionaries and learning characters, learning how to read. I had a couple friends who were also teaching me. I had a couple of private tutors that we were doing exchanges with. And I really, really worked very hard at learning how to read. And that was back in the days where it was all paper dictionaries. Now you've got these amazing apps on your phones, and you've got character recognition. It's become a different world in that sense. This was, you know, painstakingly looking for characters, looking up radicals, and really learning how to read the characters. And so I'd really gotten deep into the reading over there. And then one of my mentors over there had really urged me to delve deep into the classics. And in order to really read the classics, because there's very little translated into English, I had to read it in the source language. I had to learn classical Chinese. I had to really learn how to delve deep into those books. And that really, really opened up my eyes to a whole nother world, which I was never really exposed to prior to my time with my teachers in Beijing. And that really opened up my eyes, and it really changed my life in a sense of showing me how important the classics were and really, really having to beef up my Chinese in order to access them.
Where did you do your study of traditional Chinese medicine?
I began my studies at a local Burnaby college called the Shanghai College of Traditional Chinese Medicine. Unfortunately, like many other colleges in the Lower Mainland, it shut down a few years ago as well, which I guess is a whole other topic of discussion. But in my opinion, is probably a good thing, because I think that we need Chinese medicine to move into the public system, which it's doing as of this fall, moving into Kwantlen University. But so I started my studies there. I did an apprenticeship for close to 2 years with two local doctors, helping them see patients and just observing in clinic, learning Chinese as well, because it was mainly a Chinese-only speaking clinic in Burnaby here. And then I did graduate training at the Beijing University of Chinese Medicine, where we did classes, but I mainly did my residency over there working at the Chinese-Japanese Friendship Hospital. I had to think of the English name, sorry. And where I also worked with another one of my mentors, Dr. Fan Jianglun, who is a classical medicine and yangsheng, you know, nourishing the body practitioner, very, very famous in Beijing. And then after that, I did a program, a two-year program through the Institute of Classics in East Asian Medicine based out of Portland, Oregon, where we literally studied the Shanghan Lun and the Jingguayale, which are very, very old Han Dynasty classic texts, very important, considered the herbal Bibles, really, of this field. And so that was a two-year program, and I'm currently 2 years into a PhD, a doctoral program at the Nanjing University of Chinese Medicine, doing it under a very, very well-known doctor, Dr. Huang Huang.
Could you briefly describe your experience studying Chinese medicine? How is the curriculum and what were the expectations studying at a higher level in China?
To be quite honest, the curriculum is very similar to how it is in North America. There isn't really a huge difference. I think that a lot of the programs here in North America base their curriculum on the programs in the People's Republic, and so there are a lot of similarities. However, the big and this I really think is the defining difference between the two is the sheer number of patients that you are exposed to in China. You know, when you're working in a residency program there, depending on if you're in an acupuncture ward or if you're in a herbal medicine ward, you could be seeing anywhere between 70 to 120 patients a day on average, usually 6 days a week. And I mean, those numbers, you couldn't, I mean, that would take you a good year in North America or at most of the North American school student clinics to see. So to me, that's really the biggest difference. And there's always a high expectation. I think that in the Chinese school system, there's always a high expectation on their students. But I honestly don't think as a foreigner, the expectation is as high on me as it might be as a local student, but that doesn't mean that we don't work hard still. And so I think that we really try to earn the respect of our teachers by working as hard as our peers as well.
Could you briefly talk about your experiences studying under Dr. Yulan Bai in China and also with Professor Huang at the Nanjing University of Chinese Medicine?
Absolutely. Dr. Bai was my acupuncture teacher in Beijing. She's a very feisty older woman. And to be quite honest with you, my initial experience with Dr. Bai was horrible. I hated it. I was put in her room. Unbeknownst to me how famous she was, I had never heard of her. I didn't know who she was. And everybody was telling me how lucky I was to be with her. But I really did not like this woman. She was very harsh. She yelled at all of us. She would hit us. She would, you know, belittle us in front of the patients and stuff. And I was put on a 3-month clinical rotation with her, and I literally had a calendar in my house where I was marking down the days. I couldn't wait, could not wait to get out of the room with her. And what happened was after 3 months, I mean, it took a lot less than that, but I really earned her respect, and I saw a whole new side of her. I really saw how brilliant of a doctor she is. We developed this beautiful relationship where I didn't end up leaving after the 3 months. I think I spent about a year in the room with her, studying with her. She just a brilliant, brilliant acupuncturist, very compassionate, very caring. She has a very, very gentle needle style, which really is uncommon, actually, in the mainland. And I think that has to do with some of her training that she had done in Japan. And she is also an expert in abdominal acupuncture. And abdominal acupuncture is a microsystem that uses the abdomen as a reflection of the whole body to treat many, many disorders. But her main specialty with abdominal acupuncture was neurological and musculoskeletal pain disorders and stuff. And she really is an amazing, amazing woman. And it was really quite the transformation to really go from counting down the days to leaving her to really being very, very sad when I actually did leave her. And Dr. Huang Huang, who is my current mentor, he's my doctoral advisor as well. I first started studying with Dr. Huang in 2009. He had come to do a couple lectures in Seattle, I believe. And I'd already read his book. He had a very famous book that was published many years ago. I mean, I think it's maybe in its fourth or fifth printing now. And I had read this book. It was before the days that a lot of his books were translated into English. And I was very intrigued by his style of medicine. He's a classical practitioner who practices in what's called Jingfang, this classical formulas style. And I was really intrigued by his teachings. I went again the next year, continued to study with him over whenever he'd come close by. And then in 2013, I went to Nanjing to spend about a month in his clinic doing observations and was absolutely blown away by his clinical expertise. I mean, you know, reading theoretical knowledge is one thing, but actually seeing it in real life and seeing it being applied, and not just being applied, but actually having profound effectiveness is a whole nother story. And so it was at that point that I spent the next year and a half or so really focusing on his work and also trying and applying essentially to get into the program to be one of his students and stuff. And so over the last couple of years, I've been able to go back to Nanjing, spend more time with Dr. Huang in the process of doing my PhD dissertation right now.
What is your approach to healing? How do you see each patient in terms of his or her condition?
In Chinese medicine, we don't want to isolate the patient from their disease or whatever. We want to look at what's happening with the patient. You know, when a patient, and I tell this to all my patients, when they come in here, I don't care about their diagnosis. It's not important to me because we're never going to base our treatment strategy or our principles on their condition per se. We're always going to look at what's happening in the body. You know, I like to tell patients that we're physiology chasers, and what that means is I think I alluded to this a little bit before, was that we're not looking for pathology. We're not trying to isolate the problem. We're trying to really understand where a person's physiology is off, and we're trying to correct that. So it really doesn't matter if somebody's coming in here with chronic migraines or, you know, fertility challenges or chronic digestive disorders. Essentially, the intake is always going to be the same. We're looking to see where their physiology is off. And I believe that once we can restore that, then essentially what we're doing is we're bringing the body into homeostasis, into a state of balance, if you will. And once the body is functioning at that state, most of these conditions will ultimately disappear and health would be achieved.
What style acupuncture do you practice?
I practice a very traditional style. I practice the style that I was taught by my mentor, Dr. Bai, and it's a lot of palpation. It's palpation-based acupuncture. She taught us that the acupuncture points are never fixed in one spot, as we were kind of led to believe. There's this concept in acupuncture where acupuncture points are fixed in one spot and they follow these perfect lines or these trajectories, and that if you're off by even a millimeter, your effectiveness will go down. She taught us that this was in fact not true, that because everybody's unique, because anatomically we're different, that it is really important to touch our patients' bodies in a sense of looking for these points, really trying to feel where there's physical changes. Sometimes we're looking for small changes in the skin, we're looking for small nodules, we're looking for discomfort, for pain, what the Chinese call a shi, which just means that's it, essentially, when you locate an area of pain. A typical Chinese patient will say, telling you, there it is. And so it was heavily influenced by probably a Japanese style, because Dr. Bai was trained a little bit in Japan, which emphasizes body palpation and really, really assessing the human body, looking at potential postural issues and really trying to find the points that way. So, and we were also taught a very gentle needle technique, because we used to treat a lot of children as well. And, you know, when you're treating a child, you don't really get a second chance. It's got to not hurt right away. And so we were taught a very lovely technique where the needle insertion is so fast that the body barely even registers the discomfort there. And so you can put several needles in without even noticing. And so, and then a lot of abdominal acupuncture, which I still use in my practice quite often. And so very heavily influenced by Dr. Bai.
What kind of needles do you use?
I use regular filiform needles, regular stainless steel needles, nothing too fancy. But I also don't buy very cheap needles. I like to spend a little bit more because I think that the quality is very important. Less possibilities of breaking needles, which I have seen many times, less of a chance of dull needles, and also ensuring that there's no potential allergic reactions and stuff, which I haven't seen very often, but there are people who discuss that possibility. So I just err on the side of caution and buy good quality needles, typically from Korea, actually. I do like the Korean style needles.
Which modalities do you regularly employ in your practice?
Primarily in my practice, I would say 70 to 80% of my practice is herbal medicine. That is where my area of focus has always been. I do love acupuncture, don't get me wrong, but herbal medicine really is my primary objective here. And you know, obviously I do a lot of acupuncture as well, and cupping and moxibustion. But I think that a lot of times people ask me why I do mainly herbs, and the reason behind that is because a lot of my patients who are coming in here have a lot of deep-seated chronic conditions. They've been going on for a long time. And in my opinion, and this is really only my opinion, in order to truly affect the person's physiology on a very deep systemic level, we need to employ herbal medicine. And I mean, in my experience, in my very limited experience, really, I have seen herbal medicine truly, truly exert profound, profound, miraculous effects at times.
In your opinion, what are the main factors in our society that cause illness?
Many factors. I think that currently we live in an age of, you know, in environmental issues. I believe there are emotional conditions as well. I think it's a high stress, you know, we live in high stress societies now. People are, you know, struggling to get by, struggling to afford to live, especially in an area like where we live, right? Very, very expensive. And so that's a very big stress for people. You know, I think with the advent of smartphones and stuff, we're seeing a lot more postural issues and stuff. So we're, you know, we're getting a lot of patients with issues resulting from overuse. But we're also, you know, I think diet is a major, major factor. I think that there's been depletion of our soil. There's been a really, really big drastic change to the quality of our food over the last 20 or so years. And I think that when you combine poor diet with a lot of emotional distress, maybe poor sleep, it is a recipe for disease.
What are the main illnesses that you deal with in your practice?
I deal with multiple illnesses. I consider myself a general practitioner here. Lots of internal medicine. I do see a lot of autoimmune conditions here, very common, and digestive issues. I treat a lot of dermatological issues, primarily in small children. There are a lot of children that come to the clinic here, and for them, it's typically we see the triad of atopic conditions, things like eczema, allergies, asthma, and a lot of pain, of course. I think that most people associate Chinese medicine and acupuncture with pain, but we're really trying to change